The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set those free who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Let us continue our worship by singing hymn 4. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, turn please to Genesis 11, 3 through 9 as we hear the Old Testament lesson. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city, and a tower whose top will reach into heaven, and let us make for ourselves a name, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language, and this is what they began to do, and now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth. And then the New Testament lesson from the book of Acts, Acts 2, 1 through 8. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, disturbing themselves, and they rested one on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and they were bewildered, because they were each one hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying, "Why are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we each hear them in our own language, to whom we were born?" May God add blessing to the hearing of this word. Let us pray. In silence, let us take a moment to listen for the still small voice of God and confess our sin. Our gracious God, we know that you hear our prayer. We know that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and will forgive us and cleanse us. Thank you for the promise of your grace in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. I'm pleased this morning to introduce our chapel speaker, Reverend Mildred Riddick Best. Mildred is a recent graduate of 1990 of Southeastern Seminary. Before coming here, she received a bachelor's degree from Cochrane State College in Baltimore and a master's of social service degree from Bryn Mawr College in Pennsylvania. Mildred is currently serving as an instructor in Christian education at the Shaw Divinity School in Raleigh. We're pleased that her husband is with her this morning, Reverend E.K. Best, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Warsaw, North Carolina. Mildred has one daughter, a senior, age 17. Following our next hymn, we will gladly hear Mildred. I would invite you to turn to hymn 479 and wait for further instructions.
Thank you. Well, I feel like saying praise the Lord. I'm really happy to be here. You don't know how delighted I am to stand before you and to see all my friends out there. And Mrs. Philbeck, I'm afraid to start naming people because I'll forget someone, but just remember I'm thinking about all of you. At this time, I am humbled also, and I was very nervous before coming here. I decided I would say that so that I would relax now that I've let you know that. When I was last on the campus, I ran into Dr. DeBrand, who I believe is no longer here. He was my preaching professor, and as we walked past each other, he looked at me. He says, "Well, Mildred, how's your preaching?" And I said, "Well, it's still improving." See, after sermon delivery, he told me that he would give me the most improved preacher award, improved preacher award. So hopefully I'm still improving. Just pray with me now for a minute. Dear Lord, we pray for your spirit and your direction as I speak your word. And we pray your blessings upon your people that they are able to receive. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. Now, just for a minute, I want you to just think about a bridge. Think of the purpose of this bridge. Think in your mind what it does. We know that a bridge on each side has something that's called the abutments that provides the anchor, is usually anchored into the ground. And we know that a bridge provides transportation for us across dangerous grounds and territory. I mean, we're able to cross over rivers and lakes and railroad tracks. And we also know that when we think of this bridge, that it has to be sturdy. We can think of the Golden Gate Bridge, for example. And we know it has to be so sturdy that earthquakes and thunderstorms or hurricanes will not cause the bridge to fall and crumble. And so I just want you to think about that just for a minute, how the bridge links and connects people of different backgrounds, ideology. They're able to cross and make passageway. And look how it connects one part of the town or city to the other part, which would make it real difficult for us to get transportation if this were not possible. And as you think about that bridge, I want you to think about your role as a Christian. And I want you to think about how we are bridges or how we can become bridge builders. And I would like to read once again Acts the second chapter, verses 1-4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And so as I read this particular text, I'm reminded that Jews from all over the known world, different languages, Jews of the diaspora, were enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit to communicate. They came on one accord, but there may have been a problem there in terms of being able to speak the other's language. And then I want you to remember that the Holy Spirit serves as a catalyst for mutual understanding for today. And so therefore, I want you to consecrate yourselves to become bridge builders unto God. And for this reason, my title today is Towers or Bridges, Which Do We Build? Now let's think about this day at Pentecost, where all these people are gathered, Jews from all over the known world. And then there's a language problem, a language barrier perhaps. They may not be able to communicate. And I'm sure to many that could have been a chaotic situation, trying to get the other person to understand as you're trying to share the gospel with them. But what seemed to be a chaotic situation turned out to be a situation that enabled mutual understanding, and people were able to communicate. For once, people who may have thought they had no commonalities with the exception that they were Jews, all of a sudden they were on common ground. Amazing, isn't it? Miraculous. He can speak my language. Perhaps she could speak my language. I don't know. But just miraculous. The Holy Spirit comes in, and people on one accord are able to communicate, to become one. And then let's compare that story with the story of the Tower of Babel or Babel. Let's think about it. Here we have people who decide that they wish to build a tower. And the first thing that they say to themselves is, let us build this tower so that we can make a name for ourselves. And so they go about building the tower. And we learned that in ancient times, people soon discovered, especially in times of war, that building a tower enabled you to have something over your enemies below you, that you had an advantage over them. And so we know that even in our world of today, there's a lot of tower building. We know that in the private sector, people build towers so they can just climb and continue to climb and become the top executive. And we know that there's some people who are not concerned at all about those people that they hurt on the way up. But just let me climb that tower. And then we also are reminded of some Christians who were in the tower building business. In other words, they seem to be totally concerned about the vertical, their relationship with God, and they've forgotten the horizontal totally. We can look in Scripture at the parable of the Pharisee and the publican, and we see a great example of tower building. Here we see a publican who finally realizes that he needs God, that he needs to live a life that God has called him to. And so because he has thought within himself, he feels convicted, and now he comes to God and he wants forgiveness and he wants God's grace extended to him. Of course, we know it has been extended. And then on the other side, we have the Pharisee. And the Pharisee has already decided that he's a wonderful man. I mean, after all, he even goes to God and not humbly and asking God for forgiveness, but he decides that he's worthy to stand before God and to tell God just how wonderful he is. Isn't that something? God, I'm such a wonderful person. After all, I tithe. I don't drink. I don't run around. I don't do drugs. I'm just wonderful. I take my family to church every Sunday. And we're not like this publican over here who lives on the wrong side of the tracks in the first place. He does some really ornery things for a living. No, God, I'm just great. And so he carries on this one-way conversation with God and has so much pride. And then we realize that because he has this pride and this self-righteousness, that he's beginning to look down on the publican. And so he's not a bridge builder, is he? He's not looking over and saying, what can I do to help this person? What can I do to extend my hand to help him perhaps to walk this new walk that he wants to go in? No, no, no. This man decides that he's just too good. He's just too good to stoop down where someone else is. And so he's building a tower, an ivory tower, that says, God, I'm so good and I'm so wonderful. And you know, sometimes in our life, we really do try to impress God, or we think that we are impressing God. Many times we do things. I'm reminded of the Persian Gulf War. Many of you may have different opinions on this. But during that time, I thought about how we continue to say, look what we're doing. We're helping these poor people. We're doing this. We're such a great country. And even though we're great in many ways there's a lot to be desired. And so sometimes in our few victories, we sometimes become a little bit too proud, and we think that we're better than other countries. And sometimes even those third world countries that we have exploited in the name of capitalism and free enterprise, we become better than they are and we judge them. And so we stand before God and say, look at America. We even elevate our flag on the same level as the word of God. Idolatrous? Perhaps. But think about it. Think about a nation. Think about the Pharisee who's building his ivory tower. Think about here in America how sometimes we build our ivory towers. Yes, sometimes we help. Sometimes we do great things for people, but then we want to brag to God and say, look what wonderful things we're doing. And you know something? I don't think God is impressed. Do you think God is impressed? I don't think so. And so as we look at this story, I want you to go away remembering that God has called us to be bridge builders. And that's our imagery today, that we want to connect people, that we want to bring people together, different backgrounds. Even in the Southern Baptist, and even in the struggles that you're going through, and we realize that those struggles are going on everywhere. Maybe it has a different name. But we have to realize that we are called to be bridge builders, and that we cannot go about our lives marching and pushing everything out of our way that does not fit with what we think God wants us to do. Because if we're doing that, and we're just concentrating on what's going up, we might be like the Pharisee, praying a one-way prayer. But we have to remember what Christ has taught us. And Christ has taught us that we are to love one another as God has loved us. And you see, when you concentrate totally on, or you think you're concentrating on the vertical, then you're forgetting about God told you to love him, and the other part to that piece, to that puzzle, is that you must love others. I'm thinking right now of Isaiah 58 chapter, where in that passage, we're told what the true fast is. And that's also an image that I get pulled together with the Pharisee. And what is taking place there is that, once again, people impressed with what they think they're doing for God, I fast. And then they have to be reminded by God, what is the fast? Is not the fast to loosen the chains of those who are in bondage? What is the fast? Is not the fast to give bread to those who are hungry? What is the fast? We have drugs in our communities. What are we doing as a church, as denominations? I frankly think very little. Very little. The only thing we can do is cry out in self-righteous indignation, or just be plain self-righteous and say, isn't it a shame these people just don't have it together? They don't want to be anybody. They don't want to do anything. And so we don't take the time to reach out to them and say, we know a better way. And sometimes I think we don't reach out to them because we aren't sure ourselves. We're pretending. We're pretending that we know God and that our relationship with God is so great that, you know, we just block out everything. And then the little things that we do when we go to church on Sunday, when we pay our tithes, we let that be enough. I'm reminded of a story of a man who, the man and wife, the husband and wife got into an argument. And so finally he just looked at her and he says, look, I'm better than most men. I take care of my children. You're living in this house. I'm paying for it. We have food on the table. We can go on vacations a couple times a year. And after he went down this long list, she finally looked at him and said, well, dear, you're only doing what you're supposed to do. And so many times that's what we're doing. We're only doing what we're supposed to do, but yet we've decided that that's great. And many of us, as we do what we're supposed to do, we don't stretch ourselves to go any further. So I want you today just to remember that we all can be bridge builders with the help of the Holy Spirit. And not only bridge builders, that we can be bridges that reach out to others, that try to think of creative ways to bring people together, to help people to know the true and living God, and that we ourselves are the vehicles, the bridge, that not only provides transportation for people, but provides support, that provides encouragement, and that sometimes we even may have to provide our own worldly goods to help others. I thank you for this opportunity, and God bless you.
Thank you, Mildred. Let us stand to receive our benediction. May the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in God's sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.